Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Revelation. This is the final weekend in our teaching series called Mind Games, and it's been a great month as we've studied God's Word together, discovering the truth that will result in lasting life change. One of the reasons why I wanted to teach this series to you is to help you focus and concentrate on the truth over a period of time so that you could see lasting impact in your life. So let's take a moment today as we come to the end of this teaching series to review what we've learned in previous lessons. Our first lesson was called Change Your Mind, and we talked about the fact that we all need to change. You see, God has destined you to become just like Jesus, but the path to becoming like Christ is by changing your thinking. Then in lesson number 2, called A Beautiful Mind, we discovered 3 laws of the mind. The law of focus, you become what you think about. The law of substitution, you can only think of one thing at a time, therefore the way to victory is to replace wrong thoughts with true thoughts. And the law of spiritual warfare, there is a battle being waged for your mind by the enemy. But the truth exposes the lies and brings you victory. Then last week, we saw the lesson True Thoughts, about the truth about lies, the truth about truth, and the truth about our thinking. You see, God's Word is the only truth that can set us free. If you will fill your mind with His Word, you will become like Jesus Christ. And today, as we come to the end of the Mind Games series, we're going to look at some practical examples of wrong thinking and the true thoughts that we need to replace that wrong thinking. So let's begin again today by reading our scripture text for this month out loud together. It's found in Romans 12:2. It's there on your screen. Let's ready and go. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word to your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as I'm here in the studio today thinking about the true thoughts, I hear the Lord speaking to me right now. I hear Him telling me that it's time for us all to build a firm foundation. I hear God saying, we've stayed in this condition long enough. It's time to move on. It's time to grow. It's time to reach new heights of faith and victory. And you see, whenever God wants to move His people to a new level, there has to be a change. In Deuteronomy 1:6, we read this, "The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain.'" God wanted to get His people up and on their way. They should have been on their way to the promised land long ago. If we look back a few verses, we see this in Deuteronomy 1:2. "It is only 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea on Canaan's border. Yet Israel took 40 years to get beyond it." Friend, can you imagine an 11-day journey taking 40 years? What happened? If we study the Word of God, we'll see that the people just wouldn't learn the lessons. And the fact is, some people have a problem and some people are a problem. Which are you? The people of Israel didn't have a problem. They had God on their side. They had provision for the journey. They had manna every day. They had the promises of the promised land. They had no problems, but they were the problem. And what is true about them is true for many of us as well. You see, some of us have been in the faith for a long time. God's saying to you right now, you've stayed here long enough. It's time to move on. It's time to take the promised land. It's time to enter a new level of growth. It's time to conquer the giants in your land and possess your possession. It's time to become just like Jesus. But the problem is, the longer you've stayed in the wilderness, the more you've adapted yourself to the wilderness. Longer you've been in the place of spiritual starvation or of spiritual numbness, the more ingrained that old thinking has become. The longer you've been in the world and thought worldly thoughts, the more deeply entrenched those thoughts have become in your mind. Once, many years ago, when I was ministering in Nigeria, at our Bible school campus, there was only one tap on the compound. It was way over in the corner at the edge of the compound, and there was a field you had to cross to get to the tap. over a period of time because so many hundreds of people marched upon that path day after day. The grass stopped growing along the path, and though there was grass growing all around, there was a well-worn path that was beaten down, and the ground became hard and stiff because everybody kept passing that path. That's the way it is when you're thinking wrong thoughts. You keep treading the same thoughts over and over again. Nothing new can grow there. It's packed down, and your mind and heart becomes barren and unfruitful and unyielding. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. They went round and round the same old mountain. They were destined for the promised land, but they were living in the wilderness. And over the years, they developed wilderness thinking. By the time they were ready to go to the promised land, they had to break the pattern of wilderness thinking and start to develop promised land thinking. And I believe the Spirit of God is saying to many of us today, you have wilderness thinking. You're bound by wrong thinking for such a long time. It's developed a habit in you. You've got worn paths in your mind of thinking patterns that keep defeating you. So how can you break the cycle of negative thinking and move on to the promised land of victorious living? This morning, I'm going to tell you three steps to winning the battle of your mind. And here's the first one. You've got to identify the wilderness thinking in you. For the first step to victory is to understand the patterns of thinking that have kept you defeated and in darkness. The fact is, most of us don't see ourselves as God sees us. We don't see our faults and our weaknesses and our sins in our own lives. We have blind spots, those areas of our lives where other people can see where we're wrong, but we cannot see it ourselves. And when we have that blind spot, we don't realize how wrong our thinking is. We don't understand the impact that wilderness thinking has on us. So we think we've made no mistake. We think all our plans, our actions, our attitudes, and our thinking is good. That's why we all need outside truth to come and shine the light on us. We need knowledge that comes from God, something greater than us. How can we get that outside help to identify wilderness thinking in our lives? Well, first of all, you've got to ask God to show you the harmful patterns of thinking in your life. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said, Lord, show me where my thinking is wrong? For you see, the Holy Spirit is always ready to reveal to you the truth about yourself. Psalm 139, 23, and 24 is a beautiful prayer from David. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Lead me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. David prayed for God to show him his own heart and his own wrong thinking and to point out any error in him. And if you will pray that prayer, I believe that God will answer it and you'll begin to see wilderness thinking in your life. Then secondly, you need to search the Bible to discover harmful patterns of thinking. For the Word of God is like a mirror. It reflects who you are. Psalm 119, 9 and 11 says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your Word. I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When we look into the mirror of God's Word, we see where we're going astray. His Word in us is a barrier to prevent us from sin. And if you're serious about living in victory, you better be serious about God's Word. It comes to shine a light in your mind and show you wrong thinking. It comes to wash your mind and give you true thoughts to focus on. That's what the Bible says in 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Did you hear what Peter said? He said he wrote his two epistles to stimulate right thinking. And then he goes on and tells us that we should think about the words of the prophets and of Jesus because they will produce right thinking in us. That's why I like to say, either sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. So you've got to ask God to show you your wrong thinking. You've got to search the Word of God, and then you've got to do this. Ask godly friends to show you the results of harmful thinking in your life. You see, there's a lot of wisdom in counsel from godly people, and the advice of the godly is a blessing. Proverbs 12, 15 says, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. A man who cannot receive correction is a man who cannot change. A man who cannot listen to advice is a man on the road to destruction. Now, obviously, there's a right way and a wrong way to talk to someone. The Bible says we have to speak the truth in love, and it's not just anybody you should listen to. Not everyone has the mind of Christ, not everyone has the Word of God in them, and not everyone has your best interest at heart. But if you get offended at a godly pastor or friend who tells you the truth in correcting you, then you are immature, shallow, and deceived. So the first step to winning the battle of your mind is to identify wilderness thinking. Now here's the second step. You've got to substitute wilderness thinking with promised land thinking. Once you've identified those wrong thoughts in your life, then the next step is to replace that old thinking with new thinking. You've got to move into promised land thinking. Begin to think not based on your past, but based on your new life in Christ. The fact is, there are so many wrong thoughts we need to overcome, and so many new truths we need to embrace. We could spend a whole year teaching on mind games and still have more to learn. But let me today take a few specific examples of true thoughts we need to put into practice. We can't possibly cover every lie the enemy uses against us, but by showing some specific examples, I hope it will shine a light and start you on the road to a new mind. Here's an example of wilderness thinking you might have in your life. It's called victim mentality. Victim mentality says, I'm a victim of my past. I am not to blame for being the way I am. It's the devil's fault I'm like this. Other people are the problem. This is such a common habit of all men everywhere. In fact, it goes all the way back to the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. In Genesis 3, 12 to 13, when God confronted Adam and Eve about their sin, this was their response. The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So Adam blamed Eve and Eve blamed the devil. And from that time till now, men keep blaming one another. They wanted to have a victim mentality. And so we all have had that type of thinking in our lives. The children of Israel did the same thing. Listen to Numbers 21, 4 and 5. But the people grew impatient with the long journey, and they began to speak against God and Moses. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness?" they complained. "There is nothing to eat here and nothing to drink, and we hate this horrible manna." Wow, can you imagine that? God delivered them from bondage and slavery. He defeated their enemies and killed Pharaoh and the Egyptian army in the sea. He provided food for them every day. And now listen to them. They're complaining. "We don't like the food. We don't like our freedom." They blame God for being unhappy. That's wilderness thinking. But when they got to the promised land, they had to change their thinking. In the promised land, they were ready for battle. In the promised land, they stopped complaining and started praising. They got to Jericho and started shouting. They got to Jerusalem and said, "We are well able to go up and take this mountain." Their thinking changed, and the results changed as well. How does victim thinking work in our lives today? Victim thinking is destroying a lot of people because they think in a victim mentality, and they become defeated. For example, if you were born poor in a small village, you think you don't have any opportunities. You feel sorry for yourself. You make no effort to improve your life because you're focused on how many barriers there are to your success. But let me tell you about a man who was so poor, he walked through the bush every day to school without any shoe. He had no shoes. There was no one to help him. But today, Good Luck Jonathan is the president of the whole of Nigeria. The world is full of stories of people who started with nothing and made something out of their lives. So stop feeling sorry for yourself and start making something of yourself. That was then, this is now. God has a better plan for your life. All things are possible to him who believes. So get up out of the wilderness thinking and start claiming your victory in Christ. It's so sad that many Christians have a victim mentality. We don't work at our hard at our jobs, so we never get promoted. Instead of taking responsibility for our own lack of effort, we blame the boss or we blame the devil. We're convinced others are against us because they're from a different tribe or a different region. We tell ourselves it's because the devil is fighting against us, and we use that as an excuse to steal from the workplace. We come late, We leave early and we don't do a good job. But let me tell you about a man who was truly oppressed. He was held down by the people in power just because of his race. He was truly hated and mistreated, even to the point where he was thrown into prison for years. Yet he didn't get bitter, he became better. And Nelson Mandela became one of the greatest Africans of all time, in spite of that oppression. So listen, friend, you may have come from a poor family. You may have had limited opportunities. You may have been held back by barriers that seemed too great to overcome. But that was then, this is now. Your past is not going to determine your future. When Jesus is Lord of your life, you have a new life. The old is gone and the new has come. You're not a victim, you're a victor. So just say after me, I am not a victim, I am a victor. I'm an overcomer through Christ, and I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. That's why Romans 8:37 tells us, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Substitute the truth for that old lie of the victim mentality. Now, here's another example of wilderness thinking that you might have in your life. It's called the loser mentality. The loser mentality says, I'm a loser. I don't deserve God's grace. Nothing good will ever come from my life. The children of Israel had this loser mentality as well. Listen to Numbers 13:31 to 33. We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. The children of Israel had a loser mentality, so when they saw the inhabitants of the promised land, they became afraid. God had promised them that land, but they focused on their own inability rather than on God. But friends, the power is not from you, it's from God. Apart from Him, you can do nothing, but you can do all things through Christ. And here's an example of how loser mentality can pull you down. Let's say your mother died when you were young. Your father married another woman. You were raised by your stepmother and she hated you. You never went beyond JSS. Now you think of yourself as a loser. You say to yourself, I'll never get a man to marry. I'm not educated. I don't have the skills a good man is looking for. I'm just an orphan. I'll never find love. But friend, listen to me. That was then. This is now. It doesn't matter where you came from. It only matters where you're going. You're not the first orphan in the world. Others have gone ahead, and by God's grace, they've made it. Let me tell you about a little orphan girl who had no hope of a better life. She had no good job, no education, nothing but her beauty to recommend her to men. But God came along and lifted up that orphan girl named Esther. He made her beauty shine so that a king took her to his palace and married her. That little orphan girl became a queen who saved her people. And God can fulfill His destiny in your life as well. The Greek philosopher Aristotle was an orphan. Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, was an orphan. The great songwriter Johannes Bach was an orphan. J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of The Lord of the Rings, was an orphan. Steve Jobs, the co-founder of Apple, was an orphan. Three United States presidents were orphans. You may be an orphan in the world, but you've been adopted by God. You may be an outcast from man, but you are accepted in the Beloved. You may be overlooked, oppressed, and ostracized by people, but God loves you. You're chosen and lifted by Him. And it's all because of His mercy. You're not good enough, but if you deserve God's grace, it wouldn't be grace. If you deserved His mercy, it wouldn't be mercy. It would be reward. None of us are good enough. That's why Jesus died and made you an object of God's love. You're the apple of His eye. You're His chosen one, His beloved, His bride. You are the person Jesus died for. So just lift your hands today and say, I am not a loser, for God loves me. Romans 8:38 and 39 says, For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So get that wilderness thinking out of your head. Stop living like a loser and start living like a child of God. Then let's look at one more example of wilderness thinking. This is called martyr mentality. This martyr mentality says, oh, poor me. Everyone else has a better life than I do. I'm suffering and God doesn't care. The martyr mentality is marked by grumbling and complaining, by discontent and dissatisfaction. Listen to this wrong mindset as we see it in the children of Israel in Numbers 14, 1-3. Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? My God, did you hear what they said? It would be better if they died. They felt so sorry for themselves, they cried all night. God was trying to take them to the promised land of milk and honey, but all they could do was complain. They had wilderness thinking. But when they got to the promised land, their thinking changed. That was then, this is now. Wilderness thinking sees the problems, but promised land thinking sees the possibilities. Wilderness thinking is full of self-pity, but promised land thinking is full of self-esteem. Wilderness thinking complains all the time, but promised land thinking can't stop praising God. And so it is for you. Stop feeling sorry for yourself and start rejoicing in God's blessing. Stop looking at your past and envision your future by faith. Stop making excuses and start being an example to others. That was then, this is now. So say after me, I am blessed and highly favored. I'm the person who will give inspiration to others. I'm the person who others will follow. I'm the one God is using to show how great His power and glory is. If I didn't start low, it wouldn't mean much when I end up high. If I didn't start poor, it wouldn't mean much when I end up rich. But my past is past. I have a future in Christ. My present is new. I'm blessed and highly favored. For Romans 8, 31 and 32 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Amen. We all need to develop the attitude of gratitude. Realize all that God has done for you and is doing of you. Think of others who are less fortunate. People dying in Somalia, those in Sierra Leone who lost limbs, or Christians being attacked and persecuted in Nigeria. What are you complaining about? You may not think you have much, but friend, if you have Jesus, you have it all. You have a Father in heaven who loves you. You have a Savior who died for you so that your sins are forgiven. He's praying for you night and day. He's always listening to your prayers. You have the Holy Spirit at work in you right now, guiding you and empowering you. You have the promise of God's word that are yes and amen in Jesus. You have a future home in heaven. You have a destiny of grace. You have all you need for life and godliness. So get up and get rid of those wilderness thoughts. You're not a victim. You're a victor. You're not a loser. You are loved. You're not a suffering martyr. You're blessed and highly favored. Put away those thoughts that bind you and tie you down and substitute true thoughts. And that brings us to our third step in winning the battle of your mind. You've got to practice true thought thinking. You see, this is not a one-time battle, but it's an everyday occurrence. Every day, every week, every month, we fight to keep our minds stayed on God and filled with His Word. And when you do that, it will drive the giants from the land of your mind. You'll claim the territory, the promised land God has for you, and you'll enjoy the place of promise. You have to keep on keeping on. That's why Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep the man in perfect peace whose mind is stayed or kept on you. Let your mind stay on God. Scientists tell us we think 70,000 thoughts every day. That's 70,000 battles and 70,000 opportunities to think God's thoughts, to bring every thought captive. Don't go back to wilderness thinking. Don't stay in the past. You've been there long enough. It's time to move to the promised land by taking on promised land thinking. Philippians 2:5 says, think as Jesus Christ thought. And John 13:17 says, if you know these things, you will be happy if you do them. Amen and amen. It's my prayer for you today that the power of God's truth will come into your heart and that the Spirit of God will give you revelation through this teaching so that you can put aside the wilderness mentality and adopt the promised land thinking that will take you to success and victory. That's why I'm here every week on this station, on this day at this time, to bring you truth for today at Revelation, the classroom of the air. I hope you'll join me next week for another exciting lesson as we take on a new topic and begin to develop new truths that will change our lives. Until then, may God richly bless you. I'm praying for you. Keep the faith and keep thinking true thoughts.